What if George Washington had been assassinated before the Declaration of Independence was signed? Picture thousands of Continental soldiers gathering in a field outside New York City on June 28, 1776, watching one of their own, a member of Washington's elite bodyguard, mount the gallows. Thomas Hickey's execution wasn't just punishment for betrayal. It was a warning shot in America's first counterintelligence operation, a shadow war most history books forgot. Just days before America declared independence, a conspiracy reached into Washington's inner circle, threatening to kill the revolution before it could take its first breath. This wasn't a footnote. It was nearly the final chapter. George Washington didn't seek glory. He feared it. When Congress unanimously chose him to lead the Continental Army in 1775, he literally left the room, unable to bear the appearance of ambition. His acceptance speech dripped with doubt. "I do not think myself equal to the command I am honored with." To Patrick Henry, he confessed through tears that from the day he took command, he dated my fall and the ruin of my reputation. This wasn't false modesty. Profound loss forged Washington's character. At 11, his father died. At 20, his beloved half-brother Lawrence, his mentor and surrogate father, succumbed to tuberculosis. Lawrence had transformed the poorly educated farm boy into a gentleman, opening doors to Virginia society. Washington channeled grief into discipline, meticulously copying 110 rules of civility into a notebook. What made Washington exceptional wasn't brilliance or eloquence. He possessed neither. Benjamin Rush called it the gift of silence. Washington listened more than he spoke, and when he did speak, his words carried unshakable conviction. In an era of ambitious men jockeying for position, Washington's integrity became his superpower. By June 1776, New York City had become a powder keg, split nearly evenly between revolutionaries and loyalists. This division became starkly visible when Washington and William Tryon, New York's royal governor, arrived on the same day. City officials awkwardly delayed Tryon's reception until after Washington's parade. When Tryon finally disembarked that evening, he appeared grave and said little as revolutionary supporters heckled his procession. As North Carolina's former governor, he'd brutally crushed poor farmers protesting oppressive taxes, hiring mercenaries to defeat them at the Battle of Alamance, then hanging their leaders. Forced from his Manhattan residence, Tryon established floating headquarters aboard the Duchess of Gordon in New York Harbor, close enough to see Washington's headquarters through a spyglass. From this ship, he wove a conspiracy web, sending agents with British gold to bribe Continental soldiers suffering from terrible conditions and meager pay. By spring 1776, his network stretched from Long Island to New Jersey, ready to sabotage bridges, steal weapons, and turn guns on fellow soldiers when British forces arrived. But Tryon wanted something more, someone inside Washington's inner circle. Washington arrived in Cambridge, Massachusetts in July 1775 to find his army had just 38 barrels of gunpowder, not the 308 promised. The news left him speechless for half an hour. With British forces a mile away, he barely had enough ammunition for training. The human chaos proved worse. When Virginia riflemen arrived in fancy white linen frocks, ruffled and fringed, Massachusetts troops mocked them, sparking a brawl involving over 1,000 soldiers. Washington galloped into the melee and, with the spring of a deer, leapt from his saddle to physically seize two riflemen by the throat, shaking them until the fighters scattered. As winter brought illness, desertion, and expiring enlistments, Washington faced a decision that challenged his Virginia upbringing, allowing freed blacks to enlist. Despite owning dozens of slaves, desperate need forced pragmatism. During a fierce December snowstorm, he requested Congress grant license for their being enlisted. Congress approved immediately, creating America's first integrated army. Black soldiers eventually comprised 6-12% of Continental forces, the most integrated American force until Vietnam. Isaac Ketchum and Henry Dawkins ran a counterfeiting operation from a secret attic, printing fake Connecticut currency. their scheme collapsed with their arrest in May 1776. After nearly 4 weeks in jail beneath City Hall, desperate to return to his six motherless children, Ketchum noticed something odd. Two new cellmates, supposedly Continental soldiers, cursed the colonies and praised the king. On June 17, 1776, he sent a cryptic note to the New York Provincial Congress. "I have something to observe to the Honorable House if I could be admitted." Brought before congressmen, Ketchum revealed shocking intelligence. These soldiers were actually Washington's lifeguards discussing a secret plot involving blacksmith Gilbert Forbes and plans to destroy King's Bridge. Most alarmingly, other lifeguards were involved. The congressmen realized Washington's life was in danger. They immediately imposed secrecy, sent Ketchum back as a spy, and launched an investigation. By June 20th, witnesses confirmed Forbes was working with Mayor David Matthews and Governor Tryon. Investigators arrested Matthews on June 22nd, just 5 days after a desperate counterfeiter trying to get home to his children accidentally saved the commander-in-chief. Thomas Hickey, sworn to protect George Washington, instead plotted against him. On June 26, 1776, he faced court-martial for exciting and joining in a mutiny and sedition, and of treacherously corresponding with, enlisting among, and receiving pay from the enemies of the United American colonies. Four witnesses sealed his fate. Fellow lifeguard William Green described recruiting Hickey through gunsmith Gilbert Forbes, who paid Continental soldiers to defect. Forbes confirmed paying Hickey directly, both implicating Mayor David Matthews as paymaster. Isaac Ketchum testified that Hickey revealed eight of Washington's guards planned to turn when British troops arrived. Hickey's defense, he joined only to cheat Tories of money, failed. The verdict, guilty. The sentence, death by hanging. June 28, 1776, became America's most dramatic day. Nearly 10,000 soldiers marched to an open field north of the city, joined by almost 20,000 spectators, virtually New York's entire population. At 11 o'clock, the noose was secured. Hickey maintained defiance until the chaplain's farewell triggered tears he quickly wiped away. With his final breath, he mysteriously warned about continued danger to General Green, possibly referring to William Green, who testified against him. Hickey became the first executed for treason in the Revolutionary War before the largest crowd ever assembled for a North American execution. While Washington dealt with betrayal on June 28, 1776, Congress debated Jefferson's declaration in Philadelphia, approving it July 4th. When Washington received his copy on July 9, he assembled his troops that evening. As an officer read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal," the crowd erupted. Energized soldiers paraded to Bowling Green, tearing down King George III's statue and parading his head on a pike. The battle for New York proved catastrophic. Over 400 British ships carrying 34,000 troops assembled in the harbor. The August 27th Battle of Brooklyn decimated American regiments, trapping Washington and 9,000 troops on Brooklyn Heights. Though outgeneraled, Washington orchestrated a brilliant nighttime evacuation across the East River during a rainstorm, refusing to board until every soldier escaped. The British occupied New York for 7 years, but Washington's army survived. The conspiracy's legacy transformed American intelligence. Washington recognized intelligence gathering's critical importance, eventually overseeing the top-secret Culper Ring. John Jay's Committee on Conspiracies evolved into America's first intelligence agency. The CIA now acknowledges Jay as America's first counterintelligence chief. Washington's greatness emerged not from tactical brilliance, but from stubborn refusal to surrender. Had conspirators succeeded in killing or capturing Washington in 1776, American history would be unimaginably different. The conspiracy failed because ordinary people, a desperate counterfeiter, vigilant investigators, principled soldiers, chose courage over convenience, proving nations aren't saved by heroes alone, but by citizens who refuse to look away when darkness gathers.